Relicsradio.com.
We will no longer pay respect to these relics because their respect is now my respect. There was no passing of the torch. I took that torch and I used it to burn Kane and to burn Undertaker straight into ashes.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Welcome to Monday Night Raw!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
You're scared. I mean, I would be too. You're looking at the baddest diva in the WWE. You're going to find out why I am the boss.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
The one thing about Sasha Banks moving up to the main roster is that Thursday nights I can't play this theme as often as I did for a while.
Well, that's okay, because we can now use it on this show.
We can use it on this show, and this show is the Raw Post Show. We are live right here on the Model Talk Radio Network, presented as always by Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs, as well as gerwick.net. I am Sir Rockin'. That is Lindsay Ward, who you can hear tonight. Crystal clear.
Crystal clear, because I now have better internets.
The internet, yay. She has better internets. It's amazing. Crystal clarity is the key to all this.
He's very excited, if you can't tell.
I am. It's like, oh my god, I don't have to cut her off mid-sentence anymore. It's fantastic.
Yes.
Yes. We're both happy about this.
Very happy.
And you know, with many things that happened tonight, it's like, you got Dean Ambrose and Triple H, you've got The Undertaker, but we open with Sasha Banks because it's Sasha Banks. And we're going to start with her. She fought Becky Lynch tonight on Monday Night Raw, and these two girls had a great match for the time they were given.
They did. This was, I wanted more. I wanted more time. I want another match. I want more. Just, I love when Becky and Sasha fight.
They had this awkward, go ahead.
I can't get enough of it.
Neither can I. So, they had this awkward moment. They do headbutts on the top rope. Then Sasha goes for a sunset flip, and she falls backwards after she comes down. So her body's on the ground. Becky's body's on the ground. All four shoulders are down, legs on top of one another. One, two, three. Who wins?
Oh my god, it's a draw.
It's a draw.
We need a number one contender.
Who is it going to be? Someone get... Wait, Regal. Where's Regal? Regal?
Where's Regal?
Regal?
Get Regal.
Regal? Well, no, then it'll take like 5 weeks to figure it out. No. So...
We don't have 5 weeks.
We don't... Technically, we have 34 days, so we have 5 weeks till WrestleMania.
Jesus. We can't figure it out the night of WrestleMania.
No, we really can't. No. So, later on in the evening, Sasha and Becky were talking backstage. They're both, you know, if I had a few more minutes, I would have beat you. No, I would have beat you. Yada, yada, yada. Great stuff by both girls. Charlotte walks up and, you know, mentions that, well, you guys can get one more chance, one final chance to get the shot at me. And it'll be Thursday night on SmackDown.
Hi.
So we give it Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, one more time on SmackDown. And my gut tells me we're not going to have a conclusive winner there.
I don't think so. They're building for a three-way, but if there is a conclusive winner, go Sasha, go.
Yeah, even though we
love... Team Banks.
Team Banks. Even though we are all about the Becky Lynch and her puns, because she has...
I love Becky. I heard Becky, but damn it, I want to see Sasha win that title.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a three-way, honestly. That would be awesome between those three.
Oh, yeah.
We need to make that happen. We'll get to the Dean and Hunter stuff here in a little while. going to run down a couple matches, because if you blinked, you missed it. The Miz beat Dolph Ziggler in a minute.
It was very show-off-like.
Like, how does Ziggler went from feuding with Kevin Owens to losing to The Miz in a minute? It kind of shows you how far down the ladder Ziggler is falling a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Unless they're pushing for a heel turn of some sort with Ziggler, which they could be, where he finally gets fed up with it all. We'll have to see.
We'll have to see. I don't know. Like, that's the whole thing, is it's just part of you wonders if they're just kind of giving up on both of them. I don't know.
We'll have to see. The burial of Kalisto and Sin Cara continues for some reason as Sheamus and Rusev beat them. Kalisto is your U.S. champion, and every time he's in the ring, he loses. And we talked about it Thursday when we reviewed Fastlane. It's like, they're not doing any favors to Kalisto, for Kalisto.
No, they're not. They're really, really not, and Kalisto's one of the most talented people on that roster right now. I mean, it's like, just... And it's weird. Because he was getting over. Like, his whole little lucha thing, it's over.
Yeah, it is. But...
So it's...
Go ahead.
So it's like, I don't understand why it's you're pushing him back. I don't know. I don't get that. I get they're trying to get the League of Nations over, but there are other people on that roster aside from Sin Cara and Kalisto that could have done that just as easily. So I guess I don't understand why you're having one of your title holders and viable contenders for your tag title belts getting pushed down like that. Or not pushed down, but having that happen.
Yeah, it's a shame for what they're doing with Kalisto. Unless, I guess it's leading to Del Rio and Kalisto again. I don't know. It shouldn't. It really shouldn't. Ryback came, saw, and beat Ambrose.
He made Bo Dallas sad.
He made Bo Dallas sad, and Ryback is no longer charismatic. I don't know. This was awful.
Ryback just, you know, I just can't with Ryback. I've never been able to with Ryback. Mm-hmm. They keep trying. Man, it's just like, why? I don't even get what he's trying to do. You know, I don't get it.
He's doing everything you shouldn't be doing if you want to be over.
Basically?
That's sort of the deal there. We had AJ Styles and Chris Jericho, Y2AJ, as they're referred to, beat Big E and Kofi Kingston. They had a good match.
I like this feud. I like this setup. I like the fact that AJ and Jericho are now drinking buddies. I accept this.
You know,
I'm fine with it.
So they beat the tag champs twice now, which means they want title shot. So next week, they challenge New Day to a tag match for the titles. And it's been confirmed next week it'll be Y2AJ versus New Day for the tag titles.
I'm okay with this.
That should be good. We'll see where it goes. Yeah. We had Bubba Ray beat Jey Uso. No surprise there.
He has a tattoo on his
chest
now.
Yeah.
Explains his shirts.
Yeah, the Uso does.
And it's probably been there for 6 months, but I just noticed it tonight.
Yeah.
Because that's how long it's been since I've seen them without a shirt.
Because they always wear shirts. In the I drop you on your nuts, you drop me on my nuts feud, Big Show beat Kevin Owens.
Is that a guy thing? Is that how you flirt with each other? I'm going to mess up your nuts. No, I'm going to mess up your nuts.
I don't know any guy relationship that's about... Well, there are certain people... No, that's not how that works. No.
Okay, that's not how that... Then I have no idea what's going on with this, but apparently it's dropping each other on each other's man parts, because... Why not?
That's what I'm basing it out of. Like, one lasted the other who's been dropped on their nuts. That's all I get out of it.
I can think of a million better uses for Kevin Owens than dropping him on his nuts. Plus, I'm pretty sure his wife does not appreciate that at all.
No, she probably
doesn't. I'm sure he doesn't either, but I'm sure his wife doesn't.
No, I don't think so. So, backstage, Renee Young was interviewing Brie Bella, who said she put up a strong fight and she's ready for her match against Naomi. She was asked about her sister and husband. Then Lana reappeared and said, Americans don't know what it means to be a real woman. Lana said Brie is doomed to fail, just like her marriage. Brie told her to go back to her cave until she's actually ready to step into the ring. Brie said she loved Rusev as the bear and the referee, but Lana needs to shave his back.
How is that an insult?
I don't know. But Brie Bella versus Lana. Brie Bella versus Lana.
Is Lana actually going to wrestle?
I'm intrigued.
Curious.
It's piqued my interest. It's like, huh. Could we really see Lana in a match? And would her first matchup? thinking about this, right? Brie Bella versus Lana, Lumberjills match at WrestleMania. The only reason I say Lumberjills match is to get all the girls in the show.
Oh, I get why you're saying it, but just to me, it's, I would honestly keep Brie and Lana short and sweet, because from, I don't know how trained Lana is. I know she's had some level of training, but I don't know how far they took it at the Performance Center. My impression was that she's not fully trained.
Unless she's been training.
Unless she has been training, which that's entirely possible, but I always, you know, I thought she was always meant to be a manager. She was never, like, they gave her basic training, they taught her how to bump, they taught her how to do certain things, but the intention was really never for her to wrestle.
This is true, but I wouldn't mind seeing Brie versus Lana. It intrigues me.
Oh, I wouldn't mind seeing Brie versus Lana either. I think that could be an excellent match if it's done properly. I mean, it won't be any, it's not going to be, they're going to pull anything fancy, depending on what Lana's skill set is, but it will be a good match.
Yeah, they'll probably give them 5 minutes, let them go, see what they can do. Naomi made Brie Bella tap out, by the way, just so we're all aware.
Go, Naomi, go.
And then earlier in the show, we had, well, this.
They say that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. And now that I think about it, maybe I am insane. Or maybe, just maybe, my mind is the key to saving the entire world. It starts as an idea. That idea turns into a plan, and then that plan becomes beautiful symphony. I know what I must do. Take my hand. Join me. And I will give you eternal paradise. Defy me. And I promise, you will end up exactly like the rest of them. Conquered. Run.
Poor Boo Boo.
He has no direction.
He has no direction, and you can hear it in his voice. He had no fervor, no fire, no nothing. You know, it's, and I love Bray Wyatt. I call him Boo Boo. Okay, mm-hmm. So I love Bray Wyatt. I feel bad for him because his match got taken away from him and given to someone else, and now it's very clear he doesn't really have a direction, and the family doesn't really have a direction, and they're probably going to end up in the Battle Royal at WrestleMania. And I guess part of my problem with this whole promo is Bray's like, or you'll end up with all the rest of them, you'll end up conquered, and it's like, well, but who have you conquered?
Good question.
I think the last person the Wyatt family successfully conquered was Jericho.
Yeah.
Are we counting Ambrose, the feud with Ambrose? I'm not sure who won.
Yeah,
that
Amber,
one.
No, Bray dominated that one. But the only win Ambrose really got was the tribute to the Troop Show.
So, I mean, I love Bray. I love the Wyatt family, but you can tell that they don't have a direction and they're just kind of drifting right now. And I wish that wasn't the case, because in comparison to last year, Bray was just delivering these fiery, passionate sermons that were just, I mean, absolutely fantastic. To this, it's like, oh, you poor thing.
It's like he needs a direction, and his direction got changed on him, so it's like they're trying to figure out what to do next.
They took a left turn at Albuquerque.
See? You said we were going on straight lines, right? You were big on straight lines. I was telling you, there's got to be a left turn, and we found the left turn.
This is all your fault. Hashtag blame Rock.
Anyway, so it's time for Stephanie McMahon to come out and accept her, you know, give her acceptance speech, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's ready to do her speech, and she's talking about her family, and the fans are sort of chanting for Shane, and she's not happy, and yeah. Then Stephanie McMahon starts cradling the award like a baby, and she's just, you can see she's just getting frustrated, right? frustration starting to build. And then she goes off.
Shane, who blackmailed my father and the WWE, you cheer that, you revere that. What does that say about you? What does that say about my brother? And what did Shane do with all this information he has over my dad? Well, he asked for a multi-year vacation. Where has he been for the past 7 years? Oh, but then Shane can just waltz in the prodigal son and demand to take over. Why? Because he's a McMahon? Because he's a man? Oh, no, no, I'm sorry. It's because of his family's legacy that he spoke so passionately about last week. Well, Shane, if you really loved and supported your family, then it would have been nice if you showed up at least a couple of times. No, no, no. You guys think about it. He hasn't even been to a WrestleMania, let alone a Monday Night Raw. I'd call that abandonment. That's certainly not supportive of any of you, and it's not supportive of my family. Shane doesn't care about my grandfather, my father, and he certainly doesn't care about me or my family. That point he's made very clear. And you know what's really sad? What's really sad is that I love my brother. I do. I love my brother. But I don't respect him because every single time I let my guard down, he stabs me in the back like he did last week. It eats my brother alive that Hunter and I are married. It eats him alive that I'm in this business and that I wield so much power. And Shane, you mentioned your sons are in line to take over WWE. And you know what? My nephews will have that right, but they'll have to fight for it just like my daughters will. I noticed you conveniently left them out last week. But Shane, what makes you think you can just come back because you're a man and take over my show and my business? The very thought of Hunter and I having to work for you makes me want to vomit. But I don't have to worry about that, do I, Shane? Because at WrestleMania, The Undertaker is not only going to defeat you at Hell in a Cell, he's going to dismember you. And then you can take a more permanent vacation. But you know what? I kind of get it, looking out at all of you. I understand why you cheer him. Because Shane McMahon is a reflection of all of you. Narcissistic, apathetic, lazy, weak-minded wastes of life. You're all entitled. You think the world owes you something that you don't have to work for it. You got a chip on your shoulder. Well, guess what? Sooner or later, reality comes around and it slaps you right in the face. Now, you may not agree with the decisions that Triple H and I have made, but there is no denying our work ethic. There is no denying our legacy of excellence. And there is no denying the fact that sooner or later, all of you will be forced to show your respect and bow down to the authority. Bow down to the king. And bow down to your queen, me.
Bravo, 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 bravo.
Speaking of fervor and fire, holy crap, that was awesome. I love that Stephanie just had enough and she just like went off.
Right. And she was all calm and then bam.
Yeah, it's like, no, 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 we're not doing this. No. You know what? I'm going to have my say too. And you don't just get to show up 7 years later and say you want something and get it. You don't. And my favorite part of this, because Taker had not come out yet, is, you know, it's like the Undertaker is going to dismember you, which it's like, you're really confident he's actually going to do this.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
But then I remembered, oh, wait, right. Because in my little head, you know, it's Taker and Steph. Yeah, of course Taker's going to do it because Steph asked him to. You know, it's that whole
ship thing. Yeah.
Ship thing where, you know, it's there. the Black Wedding was real and they're actually married and, yeah, all this other crazy stuff. But Steph just calmly told Taker, I need you to murder my brother.
That's
okay.
All. That's right. All right. Cool. Cool. Cool.
But yeah, I mean, this was a phenomenal promo by Stephanie. I mean, this was great.
This was really, really good. Yeah.
Where it's, she's not going to back down. She's not going to be backed into a corner. She's going to fight. And I love that she's going to fight. Even though she's supposed to be the heel of the situation, It's no. You left. You chose to leave, and I stayed, and I've carried this company through good times and bad. I'm the one that's done everything. We have brought it to this point where you're now coming back in, and you're saying, okay, well, I want it from you now. And you don't get to do that. Not after our sacrifices.
Yeah.
Which is just, that's a great... And I love how she's, like, standing there because the feminist in me, she's like, what, you think you can just come back in because you're a man? It's like, no, you don't get to do that. I love the little digs. It was nice. It was really well done.
Bow down to your king and bow down to your queen, me.
Mic drop.
Bam. Yeah. It's perfect. So we had one McMahon, now time for the other. Vince is out, he tells the crowd, imagine him introducing his son the day after WrestleMania. He said it would take a miracle. He said Triple H and Stephanie would immediately quit the business. Vince said he would be put on the sidelines in corporate mothballs. Vince said Shane would lead you to believe that he will take the WWE to a new era that never attained before. There was a Shane O'Mac chant at this point, which was nice. Vince said none of that will happen because only fools believe in miracles. Vince said Shane might be foolish, but he still loves him. Vince said he loves Shane more than Shane loves him. Vince said he loves him enough to teach him a lesson he will never forget. Vince said he loves him enough to put him in the ring against the most cold-hearted, destructive force in WWE. And that was the moment you heard.
And everybody loses it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone loses it.
Because it's Taker, and it's like, yay, it's time for Taker. And Taker moseys his way out to the ring. He gets in the ring with Vince. Vince starts to talk.
Yeah, so the one line that this recap didn't have, but which I had to go look for, because it was a great line, that The Undertaker is his instrument of destruction.
I haven't heard that since Paul Bearer.
That's been a while since we've heard that line. So, Taker makes his long entrance to the ring.
And by long, we do mean long.
It was long. Compared to Taker grabbing Vince by the throat, asked Vince if he knows what's going to happen when he closes the door at WrestleMania. Taker said the blood of Shane is going to be on Vince's hands and not his. And then we heard...
And Taker left. Like, the entrance took longer than the promo. It's like, wait a minute. No. Get back in that ring.
So we're both sitting here. Taker, say it. Taker, go back. Taker, are you done? Go back to the ring. Taker, come on, Vince, call him back. Come on.
Come back.
Nope.
No.
So his entrance and exit took longer than the minute he spoke in the ring. It's like, okay.
It's like, he was there, he put on his guy liner for 5 minutes, really? But yeah, it was like, I mean, up until this point, it's like they were all really super confident that Taker was going to do this. And I guess our question from last week was, well, what is Taker getting out of this?
Just pure destruction.
And just pure destruction, that's what he's getting. Because it's, well... What, you know, the scenario is, what happens if Taker says no? If Taker says, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to fight your son, this isn't right.
Now the story that comes to play is, will Vince regret this match?
And I think that's what they're starting to do, is have Vince regret it, because Taker is basically saying, you need to think about this, you need to think about this long and hard. Because once that cell door shuts, that's it.
Yeah,
that's it. You know, it's, I'm going to basically do exactly what you want me to do to him, which is dismember him. Mm-hmm. And there's not going to be any stopping it. So you need to think really long and hard about this decision, and you need to make sure this is, in fact, what you want. And if it's not, then you need to stop it sooner rather than later.
Right. Oh, yeah. And then Vince sells the choke. He gets some water. He has trouble talking for a moment. And he says the reality is he will be standing here in the ring tonight after WrestleMania, recognizing that his son failed to beat The Undertaker and failed him as a son. He will recognize that Shane not only lost the match, but he also lost his inheritance. He's going to rewrite his will and give it all to Stephanie. And then the line that really pained Vince McMahon. Vince says he will, from the heart, renounce Shane McMahon as his son. Shane McMahon will no longer be his son from his heart. He will just be his son of a bitch. You could tell when he delivered that line, it's like, did I just say that on national television? I mean, I've said some things before, but that line, oof.
You could tell there's this moment where he's about to say it and he's like, wow, that, or after he said it, where he's like, wow, that looked way cooler on paper than it did me delivering it.
I mean, it looks great, it felt great, it's a great line, and he delivered it perfectly, but like, you just felt like, ooh, did I just really say that about my son? I know I said some bad things about my kids on TV before, but whew.
Yeah, that was, you could just see, he's like, I don't think I should have said that.
I ranks up some stuff when he was feuding with Linda. Ooh.
Yeah, that does. And the Linda feud, wow, the Linda feud was special.
Because I'm just getting into some of that stuff now. It's like, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, the Linda feud, I remember the Linda feud. That was interesting.
Yeah, so.
To say the least.
So there's one more big angle on the show, and it starts with the start out the show. The King of Kings, the leader of the Triple H movement, Triple H, hashtag Triple H movement. It's a thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's a thing.
He's very proud of it.
For like 34 more days. Hunter said, authority, a select few have it, the rest of you bow down to it. Hunter says that all you have an authority figure in life that you have to listen to, a figure that tells you what to do, where to go, and how to dress. Every single one of you hate it. You all want to stand up and challenge that authority. You don't because you're afraid. That fear is not a bad thing. That fear is what keeps you in place. That fear provides you the ability to know your place in life. Talked about how Roman should have known that fear and remembered his place. He tried to challenge and disrespect his authority. Roman tried to disrespect him and challenged him. And, well, what did that get him? He's at home, breathing through his mouth with a busted nose, hoping beyond hope that his dream of going to WrestleMania still exists. Roman should know his place. You do not challenge authority. That is a message to anyone who can hear his voice. Which means there's one person who has to show up at this point. Dean Ambrose.
And everybody was like, yes!
Dean says he wants to tell Hunter, Roman says hi. And, well, he's coming for Hunter.
Which, Hunter should know what that means, because Dean's not entirely sure what's going on there.
Yeah, Dean says that he figures Hunter would know what that means, yeah. Hunter says, fresh off his win from the Oscars, best supporting actor in a bromance, Dean Ambrose.
You're so funny, Hunter.
Dean reminds Hunter, he was in a movie and it was pretty good. Did you see it? Like, we saw it. Dean was good in the movie.
Dean was pretty good. I wouldn't say that about the rest of it, but Dean was pretty good.
Dean was pretty good. He wanted to talk to Hunter last week, but he got mauled by a grizzly bear in the parking lot. Then he was fighting Brock Lesnar in a street fight at WrestleMania. Then you hit Roman with a ring bell and busted his nose, and then Shane McMahon came back, and he's going to face the Undertaker at Hell in a Cell, so their schedules did not match. We had a nice chant for Shane. And then Dean with a little dig. Hunter, you like Shane or not?
Nice little shot.
Nice little shot. Dean says you want to know who Hunter wanted to win at the Triple Threat match. He decided to change the question and asked who he did not want to win. Hunter says Dean is just wasting his time because the two people who meant anything in that match were Brock and Roman, so Dean was not even a factor. Dean gets in Hunter's face, and if he can't see him now, can you see me? Can you see me? I'm right here. I'm in your face. Dean says it's hard for Hunter to remember the little people all the time. He says that he is the last person Hunter wanted to fight at WrestleMania. Hunter laughed, called Dean crazy. Dean's like, why do always people keep saying that? He might not make the smart decisions, but Hunter is real smart. He's the cerebral assassin. You're smart enough not to get in the ring with him because, Hunter, you can't beat me. Dean says he can see it in Hunter's eyes and face and body. He says he can read Hunter like a book. He can smell him on him. Dean says Hunter does not think he can beat him. Hunter says that's an unfamiliar smell because it's laundry detergent and clean clothes. Hunter says it's money and power, something Dean does not have. Dean says that Hunter is saying some pretty mean things, but they're all talk. How about some action from the COO? How about me versus you?
Do the thing.
And the fans were doing that. Yes, yes, yes. But Dean's not done. How about me versus you for the WWE Championship?
Yes, do the thing. Do the thing.
Hunter's like, this is not how things work, by saying something crazy and screaming right now and hope it happens. It does not work that way. But it intrigues him, and figure out whether it's best for business, and he'll give an answer by the end of the night. And Dean had the best comment to that. Do you mean by, like, the end of Raw, or will you text me later?
Yeah, because I'm going to be kind of busy, so it's going to be, like, 11, or like, when is it actually going to be? I mean, Dean in this was just...
Is it Central Time?
Yeah, because we're in Central Time, and Hunter's like, by the end of the show.
You dick.
Yeah.
And then Hunter made Dean versus Del Rio in the main event. So, which that takes us right to the main event. Dean and Alberto Del Rio, they had a good match. Dean got killed on the outside by the double knees, beat the 10 count, came back into the ring, and then... The League of Nations are outside. Here comes Triple H. He's taking off his tie, and then he signals, go beat him down. So he beats him down. The League of Nations do. They have Dean Ambrose, and, you know, okay. Hunter shakes all their hands, and he goes, what is with people like you and authority? You're never going to beat authority. And then Dean punches Hunter in the face. Dean fights it back, starts hammering Hunter, but Hunter takes control, kick to the midsection, pedigree. Hunter tells Dean, if you won a WWE championship match with him, you got it. Hunter leaves.
Starts to leave.
Yeah, he walks up the ramp, starts to leave. He goes, Hunter, thanks.
What do you do with that? This is like, oh, thanks. Hunter did not take too kindly to that.
Hunter was not pleased. He was not pleased. So he comes down, storms back to the ring, beats the crap out of Dean Ambrose, right hands, sends him outside, throws him on the announce table, chucks Byron Saxton.
Literally.
And just pounded on Dean on the announce table over and over and over and over again. But we have breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
The WWE announce table has new monitors.
They finally, after what, 20 years, got new monitors for the tables.
Because they were black and everything, and they got probably brand new fancy monitors.
Probably because the old ones finally all got broken. I swear that's what happened. They were going to use the old ones until every single last one got destroyed, and I know Brock got at least two of them.
And the funny thing is, we were talking about it the other week. Like, after all these years, they still have the same monitors. And then bam, this week... new monitors.
Mole.
I told you that. I told you that.
You put it out in the universe.
I told it to you. Mole.
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 Nope.
So, I'm not going to break any news here, but we are on the march to WrestleMania. Connect the dots.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Yeah. So, I like this show. There was parts that dragged, but the McMahon stuff was really good. I like Becky and Sasha. Could have used more Taker, could have used more Wyatts, but the Dean and Hunter stuff to top the night off was really, really well done.
Yeah, I wish Taker had been on longer. I wish we knew what Taker was getting out of the deal, aside from just straight up pure destruction. I wish Bray Wyatt had a direction, but Dean and Hunter, solid gold. Love it. Love the chemistry. Love the mix. Love everything about it. And I mean, the rest of the show was fine. It drug a little bit, but for the most part, it was a good show.
It wasn't as hot as last week's show, but last week's show, you had Shane McMahon in the ring for 20 minutes.
Right?
But the good news, he's back next week.
Yay!
So it should be a lot of fun. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network this Thursday night. It is Larek.
That's right. We're back. We have news. We have notes. We have NXT. And so much more. So it's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. If you missed it, we had Jeff Jarrett on the show last week. You can go listen to that in the archives of rackradioshow.com or wildtalkradio.com.
Or
you can go to globalforcewrestling.com as the interview is featured there.
Just wanted to throw that out there. Follow the show on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, RackRadioShow.com. The last week's episode of the Rack Extra Total Divas will be available Wednesday. This week's episode will be available Thursday, if all goes to plan.
If all goes to plan, I've been moving, I'm sorry, so...
We're going to get caught up.
We're going to get caught up.
She has something called a DVR now.
Yes, I have a DVR now.
So we're good. Yeah. Saturday Night Midnight Edition is CB Radio, the Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. Go back to listen to last week's episode, which was the Lone Jobber Birthday Bonanza. Bonanza. It's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual. CB Radio, CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and when a celebrity dies. Now, gotta point this out. So I was having a conversation with Rob and the anonymous chatter on Twitter. Oh, there hasn't been any blame Rob moments for the week, for the day, right? Wouldn't you know it, Rob would send me emails. See, here's someone died. Here's a celebrity who died. And then like three more later. Including someone's dog. He's now killing the puppies. It's a thing. Anyway, oh, by the way, use hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies, and when a wrestler gets injured, hashtag blame Brent. Just want to point that out.
Yes, hashtag blame Brent whenever a wrestler gets hurt.
CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Omega. Recap of the week in pro wrestling and the all-time greatest WrestleMania moment conversation continues at WTR Sunday night on Facebook and Twitter. Selma Hayek. Thank you, intern. I think it was the intern. Maybe it wasn't the intern. I don't remember. Maybe.
I don't know.
Anyway. Your turn.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWARD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Our intern is still hard at work.
Of course he is. He lives there. He has a cot under his desk.
Oh, I need to tell you something after the show. Remind me. Anyway,
okay.
At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, this is Wild Talk Radio Network. We will see you next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. And this Thursday night for The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here, WildTalkRadio.com. Thanks to Wrestling Figure Wednesday and Gerwick.net. Good night, everybody.